Good morning. I'd like to say before I begin today's lesson, I'd like to give profound thanks to Tommy. Tommy actually warmed you guys up about sheep. Because do you like sheep? You're going to hear a little more about sheep this morning. I'll read the verse. We'll be centering the sermon on one verse of Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Now, the title of the sermon is In God We Trust. We all know that this phrase can be found on our paper and coin currencies. But today's lesson is not about money, but rather about God as our trusted shepherd. Specifically, we will examine verse 4 of Psalm 23. The verse just quoted is often read at funerals to provide comfort. Sadly, I must say, as I'm getting older, I tend to hear that verse more often. But is this verse and Psalm exclusively for death and passing to heaven? No. It has application to us in our daily life with the Lord as well. This morning, we will take a few moments to examine the valley of the shadow of death and the rod and staff that comforts us and their application to our lives today. Many of you understand that Psalm 23 was written by David in the context of his experiences as a shepherd. Before he was made king, he was working as a shepherd, tending the sheep. When Samuel asked for David so he could be anointed as king, he had to be sent for because he was up in the hills tending the flocks. David described the people of Israel as sheep when seeking mercy from God in 2 Samuel 24, verse 17. We too are referred to as sheep in the New Testament. Jesus also describes himself as the good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep, John 10, verse 11. The late Philip Keller, in Inspirational Writings, a Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, himself at one time a professional shepherd, stated, "It is no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep." Many of you remember the things that Tommy mentioned about those characteristics. The behavior of sheep and humans are similar in many ways. Our mass mind, mob instincts, our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. Sheep are utterly dependent upon their shepherd. Just as we, whether we accept it or not, are utterly dependent on God as our shepherd. Keller continues by stating that despite these adverse characteristics, God chooses us, calls us by name, makes us his own, delights in caring for us. Let's go to the first part of verse 4. It says, I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. Now, what about the valley? What is their importance and significance? In the American West and the Middle East, shepherds take their flocks through the valleys which lead to the alpine meadows. For sheep, the journey from the ranch headquarters to the high alpine country begins in the spring. After the newborn lambs are strong enough to make the journey, the shepherd takes his flock slowly, feeding as they go, ending up in the meadows above the timberline in late summer. With the approach of autumn and snowfall, the sheep journey back to the lowlands and the ranch headquarters for the winter. The best grazing lands and water sources are located in the high mountain meadows. The only way to reach these areas, however, is through the valley, which have the gentlest grades. As you can well understand, the trip into the mountains is often difficult and fraught with danger. Predators live in the mountains surrounding the valleys and often come down to attack the flocks. Natural phenomena such as fires, floods, and heat can adversely affect the journey to the high country. Despite these challenges, the sheep must make the journey each year so they can mature, breed, and produce good quality wool. The journey through the valleys is also of great importance for us as Christians. As sheep, we, as God's people, can only gain access to the higher ground by climbing up through the valleys. As Christians, we often seek to go directly to higher ground without passing the valleys. Maybe this is a way of expressing fear of trials and tribulations or avoiding hardship. In reading Psalm 23, verse 4, one might get the impression that we will die in the valley or stop there. But the verse reads, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even if death does occur during our journey in the valley, for the Christian it is a passing into eternal life with God. I know that many of us here this morning have experienced many spiritual and physical challenges. It hasn't been an easy walk in the valley. Just read the Barnabas list for examples. Going through these makes us a stronger, more faithful, and more mature Christian. James 1, verse 2 and 3 instruct us to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Having experienced the trials in the valley enables us to help others who are undergoing the same challenges. We can be a channel of blessing to them. Galatians 6, verse 2 admonishes us to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Likewise, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4 states, we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, exhorts us to encourage the disheartened, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. We should build each other up as the opportunity presents. And finally, going through the valley provides an opportunity to experience God's peace. We learn that we can find rest and refreshment even in the midst of turmoil. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 encourages us not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We now transition to looking at the second part of Psalm 23, verse 4. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. During the journey from the ranch headquarters to the high country, the sheep are alone with their shepherd, leading and guiding them. They are in intimate contact with the shepherd and under his constant and direct personal care. It is important to note that David begins Psalm 23 by telling about God. In verse 4, he begins speaking to God. This shift from referring to God as he to addressing him with you represents the ultimate and personal relationship with God. In Ezekiel 34, verse 31, the Lord says, you are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. The shepherd in advance has inspected the route to be taken by the sheep in their trek to the mountains. He is familiar with all the potential hazards and where the best grazing lands are located. Keller writes that the shepherd is fully prepared to safeguard the flock and tend them with skill under every circumstance. The sheep can make their journey with safety and with confidence in their shepherd, without fear. In our journeys through the valley of life, we also have an intimate and personal relationship with our shepherd. In John 10, verse 14, Jesus states that I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus knows all about us, just as a shepherd knows his own sheep. As our shepherd, Jesus knows the valleys that we will be taking in our journey on this earth on the way to heaven. We can trust in the Lord because he assures us in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. We can also trust Jesus because he too was tempted just as we are today. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Hebrews 2, verse 18. We also have to remember that our shepherd is God. We can trust God as in there isn't anything that he cannot do. In Luke 18, verse 27, Jesus, when teaching about salvation, stated that what is impossible with man is possible with God. If God is with us and for us, who can be against us? So as the Lord's sheep, then, we have absolutely nothing to fear, which leads us to the third part of Psalm 23, verse 4. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. As you can see in the PowerPoint slide behind me, the rod and staff are very important parts of shepherding. The rod is used for several purposes. In Africa and in the Middle East, shepherds only carry a rod and a staff with them. First, as an instrument of protection, the rod is the primary means to ward off or kill predators such as snakes, coyotes, dogs, wolves, and cougars. Keller relates in his writings in an account of a young Kenyan herder killing a cobra with his rod. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 and 35, David tells Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." Undoubtedly, David was very skillful in the use of his rod. Secondly, it is used to discipline sheep that wander away from the flock or into danger. The shepherd hurls his rod with great accuracy at the recalcitrant sheep to steer it back. Third, the rod is used also to count the sheep and to examine them. Because of the thickness of wool, it is difficult to see signs of disease, wounds, and defects in the sheep. At the ranch, each sheep is periodically examined individually. Keller relates this as a poignant moment. As each animal comes out of the corral and through the gate, it is stopped by the shepherd's outstretched rod. He opens the fleece with the rod. He runs his skillful hands over the body. He feels for any signs of trouble. He examines the sheep with care to see that all is well. This is a most searching process, entailing every intimate detail. As the saying goes, one does not pull the wool over the shepherd's eyes. The rod for the shepherd is his instrument of strength, power, and authority. The rod enables the shepherd to control the flock in every situation, and it is, using the saying, the extension of his right hand. Sheep, likewise, find continuous comfort and security in the presence and guidance of the shepherd and his rod. The rod also has significance in our relationship with God as well. In spiritual warfare, the primary offensive weapon, that is the rod, is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. When he was tempted in the wilderness, Jesus used Scripture to refute the challenges by Satan. Keller writes, "Living as we do in an era where numerous confused voices and strange philosophies are presented to people, it is reassuring to the child of God to turn to the Word of God and know it to be his shepherd's hand of authority. What a comfort to have this authoritative, clear-cut, powerful instrument under which to conduct ourselves." Psalm 119:105 states that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Through the word of God, we can find protection from Satan and the troubles of this world. We find serenity, peace, and a sense of comfort and trust. I'm sure this is what was meant in Psalm 23, verse 4, when it says, "Your rod and staff comfort me." When Moses was called to go to Pharaoh to deliver the Israelites from Egypt, it was through his rod, symbolizing the power and authority of God, that divine judgment was exercised. As an example of this, the Lord instructed Moses in Exodus chapter 7, "Say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters in Egypt, over the rivers, their canals and their ponds, and all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone." As Christians, we are also counted and examined by our shepherd. Just like sheep, out of compassion and concern for us, God gives us checkups to improve our well-being. In Ezekiel 20, verse 37, the Lord declared that he will take note of you, that is the Israelites, as you pass under my rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 describes what takes place when the Lord examines us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As we pass under the rod, we submit to his authority. Through the conviction of his word, the urging of his spirit, and by the counsel of other Christians, God helps us to be more like him. So what about the other staff, the other instrument of the shepherd? In shepherding, the staff is uniquely an instrument for the care and management of sheep. Keller describes the staff as designed, shaped, and adapted especially for the needs of sheep, and is used only for their benefit. It represents the concern and compassion that shepherds have for their charges, specifically for their comfort. There are three ways that a staff facilitates effective sheep management. First, the staff is used to draw sheep together. Keller relates the staff is used to gently lift a newborn lamb and bring it to its mother if they become separated, preventing the mother's rejection if human hands touch it. A staff is also used to reach out and catch individual sheep, young or old, for a close examination. This is particularly effective for shy and timid sheep. Guiding and rescuing are other functions of the shepherd's staff. It is frequently used to guide sheep along a new path, through a gate, or along dangerous or difficult routes. As Keller describes, the sheep are not beaten when the staff is used. Rather, the tip of the long, slender stick is laid gently against the animal's side, and the pressure applied guides the sheep in the way that the owner wants it to go. Thus, the sheep is assured of its proper path. The staff is also used by the shepherd to rescue sheep that have gotten themselves into trouble. As Keller relates, being stubborn creatures, sheep often get into the most ridiculous and preposterous dilemmas. I have seen my own sheep, greedy for one more mouthful of green grass, climb down steep cliffs where they slipped and fell into the sea. Only my long shepherd's staff could lift them out of the water back again onto solid ground. The staff can also be used to signify closeness and generate intimacy. Keller, in his experience as a shepherd, describes an occasion where a staff is held against the side of a sheep that is a special pet or favorite, simply so that they are in touch. They will walk along this way almost as if hand in hand. The sheep revels in this close personal contact between them. So what is the significance of the staff in our relationship with the Lord? Simply put, it is symbolic of the Spirit of God. In Christian life, God's Spirit draws us together in personal fellowship with one another. Galatians 5, verse 22 reminds us in part that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just like the special pet sheep that is in touch with its owner, God indwells in us through his Holy Spirit as part of an intimately personal relationship with him. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus reminds us that the Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit then provides us with guidance on what to do and how to live our lives. As mentioned before, God's word is not only symbolized by the rod, but can also be represented by the staff. Like a staff, God's word provides us direct guiding instruction on how to live as sheep in the fold. Through the word and the Holy Spirit, God is saying to us, "This is the way I want you to go. Walk in it." God's guidance for us also includes correction, discipline, and rescue. Figuratively speaking, the Lord uses his staff to give us a little push in the right direction. Just as sheep need the gentle pressure against their side to change direction, we occasionally need discipline and correction from our Father. Psalm 119, verses 35 and 36 says, "Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight." Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. God disciplines those that he loves. As mentioned previously, we're a lot like sheep and get ourselves into predicaments that we cannot get out from. Many of those so-called jams we find ourselves in are of our own making. Like the shepherd, we can trust God to be there to rescue us from evil, as Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. If we are tempted, God will find a way out from it if we come to him. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now that the three parts of Psalm 23, verse 4 have been examined, what conclusion can we make? We have a shepherd that we can trust. Why? Because God knows his sheep. He knows us better than we know ourselves. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. John 10, verse 14. We can trust God because he provides needed discipline and correction. God disciplines us for our own good in order that we may share in his holiness and to produce a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Hebrews 12, verses 10 and 11. We can be confident and trust God because he is the stronghold of our life. Psalm 27, 1 declares, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Nothing is impossible for him." We can also trust God because he provides comfort and sustenance. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Isaiah 41, verse 10. We can be confident because God makes the journey with us. We cannot make it alone. Sheep without the guidance of a shepherd will perish. Likewise, we are lost physically and spiritually without him. In John 15, verse 5 and 6, Jesus states, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." We can also trust God because he loves us. He is our shepherd. Nothing can separate us from his love. Romans 8:38 reminds us that neither death nor life, neither angel nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this morning I leave you with this thought and question. No matter what valley you are walking in, God is with you, just like the shepherd is with his flock. So who do you trust this morning to lead you through the valleys of life to the mountain high country? If you desire to put on Christ in baptism or you have something you would like the congregation to pray about, please come forward as we sing this song of invitation.